What's up, everybody? It is your girl Keisha for Put Your Phone Down Podcast. I want to thank my loyal listeners. Y'all have been so good to me. And I just want to continue to spread the word that if it's anybody out here with a business, a dream, a story that can encourage and inspire, hit your girl up, okay? Now, I have a very special guest on my line, and I really want to tell y'all. Y'all know I give my people their flowers. And this young lady right here deserves like all the flowers that I have in my little garden, but I can't do it because I still got other flowers to give. She is a walking inspiration. I got a chance to speak to her earlier, and I just wanted her to know, like, you know, it's a phrase that goes around and says, you know, basically, you're inspiring a lot of people and you have no idea. Now, many, many years ago, I met Kiana, my sister. I think, you know, we always having some type of get together, but I think this might have been one of hers. I don't know. And it was at Cooper's Hawk many years ago. And she walked in. She was with our homegirl, Landy, and we just was all having a good time. But she was so cool and so down to earth. Later on, I'm talking to one of my best friends, Carla. What's up, Carla? I know you listening. And then Carla's related to everybody. She decides to tell me who Kiana is. And I was like, what? So she starts shooting out all these credentials of this woman. And I'm like, wait a minute. Does she have a clone somewhere? I mean, it's like she is out here doing the absolute damn thing, all while hopping on motorcycles, okay, being a mom of two beautiful and talented young ladies. And now, okay, look, beauty just runs in their family because now they got this handsome grandson running around here. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be inspired. Turn your radio up, please. And just listen to this inspiring story of Dr. Kiana Player. Good evening, Dr. Kiana Player. What's going on?
Wow. Thank you for the intro. You got me tearing up. Thank you. Hey, good evening. That's so awesome.
Look, it's no thanks needed. Real recognizes real. And, you know, and like I just told you, when I contacted you, Kiana, it wasn't like, you know, I was kissing your ass, anything like that.
No.
But at times when you have people around you and you see that they're on their grind, you got to stop and recognize that, because something that you and I talked about, and I just said this is what's going on with me. Sometimes things move in turbo speed. You know, it's like you get a goal, you crash it, and you on to the next. And you're like, dang, I did that? You know, so I just wanted you to share with the listeners who Dr. Kiana Player is. How did she get there, and how do you keep going?
Wow, that's a loaded question. Let's see, how far back can I go? Like, where do you want me to start?
Let's dig deep into it. Like, wherever you want to start, I'm gonna be right here listening.
Oh man. Let me take it all the way back to the childhood to tell you kind of how I got my inspiration to become a nurse. And so I think that was in the bio. I'm a registered nurse, and I have been for over 17 years, and I absolutely love what I do. But I didn't start out wanting to be a nurse. When I was younger, I used to always tell my parents that I wanted to be a heart doctor. Like, that's in my baby book. They said when I was three is when I first said that I wanted to be a doctor. And then I specifically said I don't recall this conversation, but that I wanted to be a heart doctor so that when my parents got old, I could get them new hearts. Right. I was like, man, I was like forward thinking even then, you know, it was on my life then. But I did have aspirations to go to school, go to med school after high school. But, you know, life took me on a different path, and I'm grateful for that journey. But my dad, and I'm sure you've heard this from Carla. Hey, Carla. was such a huge, he was just such a huge being. And one of the things that was at my dad's core was giving back to people, and giving back to community and helping others at all costs. My dad used to have the Uncle Ronnie's Youth Foundation. And what he would do every year, my dad was a steel mill worker. He didn't hold some fancy political office. He was a simple person. Him and my mom, they were both steel mill workers. And one year there was this huge layoff. I want to say it was in, if I recall, like 1988. And so I'm aging myself. And there was a huge layoff. And a lot of steel mill workers couldn't work and they couldn't provide for their families. My dad just so happened to have a CDL. So I remember him leaving home and he would drive buses. He would drive tour buses. And that's how, you know, we had income during the layoff. But he was so touched by seeing people not be able to provide in situations where before the layoff they were able to. And so what he did was he went to local businesses and he collected donations in whatever form they could give it. And he tapped on the old mothers in the church. He went to the local garden that's in Lake Station. We all know where that is, over by Bella Boo's. We had me and my friends out there, Carla too. We were out there picking greens, whatever they would let us take. For free, they would just give us whatever we could load up, and we would distribute that stuff to the old mothers in the church, and they would cook that food. And he got McBride Hall, and he hosted the first of many annual free Thanksgiving dinners, and we were able to feed just hundreds of people, and became, you know, such a huge event. Now, at the time, as a kid, to me, it was just fun to be able to hang out and do things like with my friends and my cousins, and you know, he would put us in this van. We used to have this van and he would drop us off in these neighborhoods because you could do that back then. And we would run from door to door, you know, putting flyers on the doors, inviting people to come out. And then we got to dress up for these dinners and serve people. And it was just fun for us. But I didn't realize that was where my roots really got planted in helping other people. So that was the start. That was the seed that was planted. And I didn't know that at the time. I know it now. And then as I got older, you know, that seed grew, and I always got the most gratification in anything I ever did when I helped other people. So like I said, when I graduated high school, I wanted to go off to school and go to med school and become a doctor. And, you know, what they say, life be life. And second year of college, my dad got sick. And so I came home. When I came home, you know, the boyfriend was here, and then life got to life, and I got pregnant. And I was pregnant with my oldest daughter, Kennedy. She's 24 now. And that was my first hospital experience, was when I had her. And it was that experience that made me know, oh no, I don't want to be a doctor. I want to be a nurse. Cause the way those nurses took care of me, like, I had just never experienced anything like that. And so from that moment on, I pivoted. And yeah, the rest is history with that. I went to nursing school, and then, you know, here I am.
Isn't it something that when you're young, and I hear celebrities say this all the time, you know, most likely like Steve Harvey, he says it a lot. It's placed in us. And then Nipsey Hussle kind of said the same thing. It's placed in us, and then we get out in the world and somehow we lose it a little bit, but it's always in us. Mm-hmm. So even as a youngster, you were connected to like the medical field, or you just knew that you wanted to somehow heal in that capacity. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Once you stepped into this world of medicine, like you said, you always kind of knew. Did you ever feel like this sense of intimidation, or did you just kind of know like this is where you belong? Like, walk me through this.
Yeah. So, you know, sidebar about me, I am intimidated with everything new that I approach. I don't articulate that. And I try not to exhibit that. You know, I try to mask it, but I'm always super intimidated because I'm in a space where I don't know anything until I learn it. And, you know, growing up, I was a geeky kid, you know, not in the sense of being like nerdy, but a smart kid. You know, I just that straight A's, and you know, had to leave the school that I was with friends that I had known for years to go to a school for gifted and talented. I didn't want to do that, but I understand how that benefited my life, you know, later. But yeah, very intimidated when I got into nursing school, because before I became a nurse, I worked as an insurance agent, and I did that just to be able to have money to support, you know, I got a baby now, so I got to be able to work. So just on a whim, I was going to be a customer service representative. And then my boss at the time was like, "Have you ever thought about doing insurance?" And I was like, "No, I have not." So I studied, took the test, and I used to be a licensed insurance agent. A lot of people don't know that. And I did that for 7 years before I became a nurse. But when I got into the program, yeah, I was super intimidated because I was like, am I going to be smart enough to do this? And there was a lot of rules back then about, you know, nursing attendance. You had to make it to your clinicals. You had to dress a certain way. You had to interact with patients and your preceptors and your instructors a certain way. And yeah, that was very intimidating to me. But I was more, how can I say, less intimidated and more excited about the journey. So I didn't let the intimidation overshadow the journey that was in front of me. So I just knew that I had to start. And as long as I put forward 110%, I was going to get the end result. So I got my associate's degree. That was my first degree, my associate's degree in nursing from Indiana University Northwest, right in Gary, Indiana. And I initially thought that I wanted to be a labor and delivery nurse, right? Because that's the only experience I had with nurses were these L&D nurses who I thought were like everything. I thought they were angels on earth. They were amazing. And you go through your clinical rotations, which exposes you to different areas of a hospital. And I realized when I did my L&D rotation that I absolutely did not want to be an L&D nurse. And I was like, yeah, I don't know what I felt like when I was a patient in the bed, but this is not for me. This does not match my personality. Then I'm like, what am I going to do? And then I got introduced to the intensive care unit. So when I got toward the end of that program and I got a chance to go to those areas where the patients are more acutely ill, it was like, I was home. I was like, oh, this is where I'm going to be. And so got through nursing school. I passed the NCLEX. That was another hurdle. And, you know, to your point earlier, when you're doing these things, you really don't know how far you come because I don't look back. I just keep looking ahead. And then when you do take a second to stop and just take a glance back, like, oh, my God, look how far I came from where I started. So it's just all of these like milestones, I would say, that I was accomplishing that I really didn't pay a lot of attention to in the moment, because every time I, you know, got to one mile marker, I didn't stop to celebrate long enough before I was already looking at the next mile marker, because I got to go there now. Now I'm doing that, you know, this. I got this degree. Great. Now I got to get my license. I got my license. Great. Now I got to get this job. Did I get this job? Great. I got this promotion. That's how I've always been able to go like that. And I don't take a lot of time to stop and just reflect on how far I've come, because I'm always challenging myself to go farther. So started as a critical care nurse, and I did that for about 7 years. And in that process, I went back to school and I said, you know, I need to go get another degree. I'm not going to work at the bedside for forever. So I think I want to be a nurse anesthetist, which are nurses that work just like anesthesiologists, but they're advanced practice registered nurses. And I got to see those nurses in action in the intensive care unit where I worked. So I always felt like that's what I want to do. I want to come in and save the day, you know, and realized once I started to look into that program, I absolutely did not want to be a nurse. So I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I just knew for sure. So when I finished my bachelor's degree, my manager in the intensive care unit, she kept telling me, oh, I see leadership. And I'm like, be a leader? What do you mean? Like a manager? Nah, I don't. Who wants to do that? You know, I'm in my 20s. I'm like, nobody want to be a manager. You sitting in an office all, that's boring. I did an office job. I was an insurance agent for 7 years. So I don't want to sit behind a desk. I couldn't wait to get away from that. Like, no, that's not for me. And she was planting seeds, and I didn't realize it at the time, but she would give me tasks to do, and they were really managerial tasks, but I was just excited to just do something new. So I would do
reviews of like code blues that had happened, and I would review them to make sure that nurses followed protocol, that equipment worked. So that was really auditing work. And then she had me doing things like precepting or training new nurses. And so she was teaching me about building relationships and mentorship in that role. And then she taught me the role of charge nurse, which is really taking charge of a unit, which essentially is a miniature manager. And I did well, just because if you give me something to do, well, I want to do it to the best of my ability, right? So that's what I did. And then I had doctors who, you know, were tapping me on the shoulder about this unit at Northlake Methodist that had a vacancy in its management role. I'm like, I don't know anything about being a manager. And I had a few doctors that had asked me to apply to it. And I didn't even have a resume at this point. I'm like, I haven't had a resume since I started here in the ICU. That's 7 years ago. And so I put together a resume and, you know, I interviewed, and that was my first management job. And when I got in that role, I was about 30 days in, and I said, yeah, I don't want to do this. This is not, I don't know how y'all talk me into it, until I got back to the thing that really made me the happiest, that's given me the most gratification in my life just in general, and it was helping people. And so when I realized that I had to look at it from a different perspective and realize that I had this unit that I was responsible for, not only the patients that were on it, but the staff who were assigned to care for those patients, that these now were all of my responsibilities. And so I wanted to make sure that they knew, the nurses knew what I knew, and then if there were things that they needed to be educated or trained on, that was my responsibility. And so I ended up having really one of the strongest units in the hospital at the time. And so it was great. And then about a year in, I said, okay, no, I really love doing this. And I'm like, and now I want to train other nurses to be managers too, you know. So I felt like I needed to go back to school. So I went back and I got a master's degree. That was in 2017 is when I finished my master's degree. And I was ready to elevate, you know, and to get out of the manager role and move into a director role, because I felt like at that point I had become, I'll use a term with a lot of humility, an expert at management. And I wanted to learn how to be a director because I want to keep growing. Mm-hmm. And that was the reason I went and got the master's degree, because, you know, for us, you know, our people, you always got to be 10 times better to get half the recognition. And I understood that very early on. So, you know, I armed myself with all of the experience and the credentials that I knew I'd need to be considered for those higher roles. And that was something that I learned when I was in insurance. My boss at the time used to tell me, there are certain things that you can do to be undeniable, right? And so if you prepare yourself, you can't be denied. Whatever you go for is going to be yours because you've prepared yourself for it. And so disappointed, though, when I wanted to pursue that director position with Methodist, because I had only ever been there as a nurse, and I absolutely to this day love Methodist. But we had a leadership restructuring, and my vision did not align with that leader's vision, and so that caused me to leave the organization and landed me where I am now in Chicago at the University of Illinois at Chicago Hospital. I've been there now for just over 5 years. I was able to walk in the door into a director position. And again, me doing what I do, I don't stop to celebrate that, right? Because it's like, okay, now I'm in this position. What's next? I need another degree, because what if I want to be chief nursing officer one day? And this master's degree is not going to cut it, because people are going back and getting doctoral degrees. And that's what I need to do. And the cool thing about where I work is this university, they pay for that. And they do it because they invest back into their team. And that was actually one of the things that attracted me to the hospital that I work at now. When I was searching, and nurses have a lot of options, so I didn't just have to go at the first place that was going to hire me. I really took my time to look to see what would be the next best move. And I looked at this organization's mission statement, and a part of their mission statement says that they are dedicated to developing the next generation of healthcare leaders. I was like, sold. That's exactly where I need to be. That is what I'm looking for, somebody that's going to invest in me. And they did. And I started there in September of 2018. by January, I had already applied to the doctoral program. My fingers were crossed, like, oh my God, I'm here at this university. It's all these super smart people, and I'm smart too. But you know, again, that's that intimidation I was telling you about when I'm approaching something that I knew and it's foreign territory. I am super intimidated. I'm like, oh my God, I hope I get in. Now here I am with my master's in nursing with a focus in leadership and management. GPA was a 4.0, and I'm like, oh my God, I hope I make it in. I was nervous. You had an interview. There's an interview process and everything. And I'm like, these people might not even, they might think she don't have a clue. She didn't come from the university medical setting. And no, of course I got in the program and I was excited, but I didn't take a lot of time to celebrate that win. I went, okay, now class is going to start in August. Let me get some travel in really quick, because for the next couple of years, I'm going to be focused on this degree. And then COVID happened. And I was like, well, this is the perfect time to be in school, because ain't nobody going nowhere. Right? So I spent the pandemic with my nose in the book. But, you know, in between all of that hustle and bustle, I did take time to, you know, hang out with family and friends and, you know, some of the things that I love. You mentioned motorcycle riding. I talked about traveling. I've been riding bikes for over 20 years. And so, you know, I had a chance to do that, but I stayed focused. I wanted to kill it in my job as a director. So I'm doing that. I stayed working full time. And then I would come home and I would be in the books and online, you know, putting up discussion posts and submitting papers and doing my research. And I made a goal to finish the program and knock a year of it off. They thought I was crazy. And I said, well, I can be crazy, but just for a little bit. But I'm not going to do this in 3 years. I got two good years in me of this, and that's it. You know, I'm not doing 3 years. I was like, triple my classes up this semester. And no, I don't need the summer off. Give me two classes this summer so I can. And I did. I finished it in 2 years. And so in this, August. It was actually August of 2021. I became Dr. Kiana.
Ooh, girl, you know what? I try real hard not to apologize for the glitches because they are not my fault. Okay.
I done went over the time. Like, I ain't gonna never be invited to come back.
No, you always invited back, but you know who might get another platform. Okay, me over here, because I got a whole bone to pick with the platform I'm using now. I don't like it. I do not.
I didn't even notice. I'm like, wait, where did the screen go? Where did it go?
You were talking so great. I mean, we on live now, so this is going on. And I want the people to know, look, guys, and I'm just gonna tie your story in with, just don't give up. You guys heard Kiana's story, and this is something I wanted to touch on with you. But you guys heard Kiana's story, right? And this is how smooth I'm gonna blend this one in. Okay. Kiana told her story about how she had to try several things until she went right back to the thing that she was led to do. So this is me telling y'all, every now and again, you go hit some bumps, bruises, some glitches. You might have people get cut off and everything. But the goal is to not give up. And whatever you are made to do, you will be called to do it as long as you don't give up. All right. So that's what Kiana has absolutely shared in this story. Kiana, I don't know exactly where it might have cut you off, but I was just so pulled in with the story that I don't even know where I can tell you to pick up at.
I'll just pick up from where you just left off about not giving up. I think that is absolutely important and is so valid. And I would just like to add to that, to do things on your own timeline. I think in this world of social media, people may have this feeling or have this tendency to do things by a certain time and that they should be in a certain place or a certain level by a certain time. Listen, everybody's timeline and their life journey is unique, and be comfortable with your journey and where you are in your journey. That was something that I had to learn too. You know, I shared that I had a baby earlier. I was 20 when I had my oldest daughter, and I felt like a statistic. Like, this is not how it was supposed to be for me. And you know, I was oftentimes compare where I was in my life to my friends who didn't have that same journey, who were not young moms and who were out here, you know, young professionals and getting it. And that wasn't where I was. And it put me in a space. And I think that probably fed some of that go get 'em attitude that I still have today. But I couldn't articulate this at the time, but I know it now, is that I was really feeling like I had to catch up, like I was behind. And I know that not to be true, right? That just wasn't my journey. I've had that conversation even with my daughters, you know, and telling them that your journey is yours. It is unique to you, and to not ever compare, you know, what your process or your pace is to anyone else's, because that's not yours. Yours is unique to you. So I'd like to share that too. I think that's important for, you know, for people to know.
That, you know what, that's a whole word right there. Like, mm-hmm. No lie. And you know, I told you, I'm just not using catchphrases like no cap, because I just had to make sure that I was using that shit correctly. I just have.
What am I really saying when I say no cap?
Girl, because when I'm like no cap, I could be talking to a whole bill collector like, yup, no cap. They'd be like, ma'am, run us our money. Okay. But what you said is so true. And I think even as adults who were not brought up in this social media world at all, I think we kind of the most ones that feel like we got a front for something. You know what I'm saying? It's like people have forgotten that everything does have a timeline. We're not in real life TikTok world. You will have delays. You will have some surprises, some hiccups, some bumps, some bruises. And I really do like the way that you said that, and you used yourself as an example in saying, look, you know, here I was, you know, with a little beautiful baby girl and still looking at other people, not realizing, you know, you were right on time, you know? Mm-hmm. So before we wrap up, you know, I know you a fly girl. People don't say that no more, but I'm determined to bring that back. Okay.
Bring it on back.
The motorcycle, like you a whole biker chick, like for real.
I am.
I want to know what got you into this.
I will tell you a quick story. My aunt lived in Glen Park, and next door to her was a young lady. She had a couple brothers, and they had a little money. And so her and her brothers had mopeds. And so if her brothers weren't at home, she would let me ride one of the mopeds with her just around the neighborhood. And that was the birth of my love for motorized bikes. Later in life, my dad's best friend had a motorcycle, and he let me get on the back of the bike with him. And I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to have one of these one day. And a friend of mine later in life got a bike. And we were about in our 20s, early 20s. And Kennedy was young, 22. I remember being 22. And I said, you know what, I'm going to get a bike too. And I happened to, you know, because I'm an insurance agent, right? I just happened to be doing that because this was supposed to be the job that I was going to have to pay some bills while I was a young mom. And I ended up being pretty good at that. And I got a bonus. And I took that bonus check and I went right to the bike shop. And I bought my first bike, and it's been bike life ever since. I used to be on the, people call them crotch rockets. So I used to ride the sport bikes. But about, has it been 4 years yet? Almost 4 years ago, I got on a Harley, because I'm older now. I'm in my 40s, you know, I got to do grown woman stuff.
Yes.
But I used to say, I'm never going to ride a Harley. That's for old people. But ooh, that ride is something different. Just to be able to cruise. It is the best thing ever. So, you know, in the midst of all of the what may sound like chaos of work and school and, you know, always challenging myself, I always do take time, even if it's a very short time spent doing something fun, because that's balance. You got to have balance. So the bike to me was the thing that was just for me. It was the one thing that I had that was just for me. You know, it's not car seats in the back of the bike with the kids fighting and all of that stuff, and you don't have a passenger seat driver telling you slow down. That's my mom. I'm telling my mom, you drive too fast, put your phone down, why you gotta text and drive? You know, the bike is just you, you and the bike. And it is something that I enjoy very dearly. Even all these years later, I love it so much. So that's how I got on the bikes.
See, it's like this is why you have the title I'm Every Woman, because you just gave a story of, you know, almost every young girl who wanted to be something and wrote it down. You remind me of like what they call a master manifester, because you wrote it down, you know, and you saw yourself having something and you just had to work hard enough to get it. Mm-hmm. And to my, I want to say my young ladies, but at this point, anybody who's listening, you know, before we wrap up or Spotify decide to do that little petty shit again. okay. What could you tell these people that are listening that will keep them focused on their dream, their calling, their passions? What would you tell these people?
I would quote Philippians 4:13. You can do all things through God who gives you strength. Start there. Know that your journey is yours. It is unique to you, and work and do things at your pace. You brought up manifesting, and you said, you know, you wrote it down. And that's funny because I do write things down, right? When I wanted to achieve a different degree or a different title, I would write it. I would just write it down. I've written bios about myself for credentials and positions that I didn't even have. I just wanted to see it in writing because that's important to be able to see it written. And I say that because that word manifesting has kind of taken on a new meaning these days. People just give themselves titles and they don't do the work. You got to do the work. You got to do the work. You can't be out here false flagging on the social media platforms talking about you do this, that, and the third because you're going to manifest it. You know, manifestation is quiet. That's between you and the Lord. You manifest that and then you get loud when you've accomplished it. So I want to make sure people know
Kiana, that too. Say it again, please.
No, don't be out here talking about, you know, I've written several books. I'm an avid. You ain't did none of that. You want to, and I'm here to support that. But, you know, keep it quiet. What Lil Wayne, move in silence. Move in silence like lasagna till you do it. Then you come out and do it, you know. But you can do it. Anything that you want to do, you can. I'll tell you something that I heard when I went to a church service at Embassies of Christ years ago. I heard it from Pastor C, who's no longer with us. He said, take the limits off your life. And, you know, I hear little bits and pieces of things in anywhere that I go. And that stuck with me even all these years later. I think he preached that sermon maybe 8 or 9 years ago. And that stuck with me because, you know, we put limits on ourselves. There is nothing that you cannot do. So, you know, have a goal, create a plan, work your plan, and you'll get to the result that you're looking for. That would be what I would leave people with.
That's perfect. I mean, listen, I'm going to end it with this. Okay. Did I just hear you quote Lil Wayne? You say move in silence like lasagna. Is that what you...
Silence. Yes. Yes. You know, you pop out. You pop out after you did it. Everybody don't have to know your moves, you know. Just come at, you know, I did that, but you don't have to, you know, necessarily let people know what you're doing at every move. And I said that to go with the manifestation, because I see so many people using that word and it's like that ain't quite what that meant, but I see what you were trying to do. But okay.
They put so much spin on these words now that you have to ask question, are you crazy? Because you're like, listen, that's not how none of that go. I mean, like you said, do you, boo, but it's
do the work and actually be that. I'm a motivational speaker and author. And I'm with you if it's like I aspire to be a motivational speaker and an author. I get that, you know. But don't you be out here claiming stuff. You ain't do that. Just go do it and then come out and be like, yeah, I'm doing all of that, because you're gonna have major side eye. But I said that to be funny, but yeah, you can do it. You know, you can do all things through God.
You can, and the pop out is for you. You know what I mean? It's like when you move in silence, that's for you too. But the pop out, when you know when it's all done, it's for you. You know, like whether you feel like doing it or not. Mm-hmm. You know, I have learned honestly the most gratifying accomplishments and goals I've not even posted. You know, like, well, that feel that was a personal one. Boom, that feels good, you know. So I love this interview, and I love that you've taken out time to hop on and give people if you know, just that little bump and letting them know, especially, you know, my people that are aspiring to get into nursing and the medical field, and know that you don't have to, you can play around. Mm-hmm. Just like Kiana said, it was certain things she liked that labor and delivery was not for her, okay? Mm-hmm. But she moved around. She gained knowledge. What I also like is that people spotted, you know, they saw your drive. And at first you was kind of resistant, but you used it to your benefit. And it all was wrapped up in a nice bow. You know, shout out to your dad who just kind of laid the foundation down, and for you to even get a peek into saying, wow, this is something that I want to do. So that's a beautiful thing. Shout out to your daughters who have just an amazing, you know, role model, so they can keep going and keep pursuing what whatever it is they want to do. I'm so proud of your babies. You know, they just keep going. Very respectful young ladies. I mean, you just can't do no wrong in my book. So, you know, I really want to thank you for just hopping on. And again,
thank you for having me.
You know, look, this is fun. This has been fun. You guys, the episode is up. You guys can share it. It's on all platforms now: iHeartRadio, Google, Apple, Spotify. Your girl is just keeping the ball rolling. So if anybody has been inspired like I have with this story, don't hesitate to share this episode. It's I'm Every Woman on here with Dr. Kiana Player. Dr. Kiana Player, I want you back on here so I can talk about all these initials.
Oh,
these initials. Behind this name, baby. I said, listen, okay.
And it's more beautiful to come. I got some other stuff in the works. More to come. Look, but any of your listeners who aspire to be nurses, especially, or if you are in nursing and you ever need some guidance or some mentorship, I'm available for that too.
There we go. Look, that's because we don't always get a lot of that. And that's why I love that you just extended yourself, because it's hard. I know about us, you know, I know you mentioned certain things about the nursing field, and I had a few friends that were either entering it or they, you know, kind of got a little discouraged. It's no punk, because it is just a bunch of testing and you know, like you said, your stomach is hurting and everything. So to have somebody like you say, hey, look, I'm here. I want my listeners to take full advantage of that. And that's, look, she ain't trying to be your best friend, but if she can get you to cross the street, then you take that knowledge and you COVID run with
has
it.
Been taxing on healthcare providers. And so, reach out if you just need some guidance. I get it.
So we go end it there with her saying reach out. Later on when you hop on here, I am going to ask you who your goat is, but you know how Spotify has been doing the system. So girl, they don't understand. Okay. I'm like the Jeffersons at time to time. Okay. But no, my listeners, I want to thank you all. I want to thank you all for acknowledging the podcast, for passing it on. If you see me on the street, and y'all like, Keisha, you still got that podcast? Y'all don't understand what that does to me. It motivates me to keep going, to bring you more quality. Y'all, I'm working on it. But listen, just like you heard from tonight's story, don't give up. You might bend, but you will not break. Mm-hmm. If you are anything like Kiana and myself, Kiana, I write it down too. And I have seen like the benefits of writing it down. I date mine. Mm-hmm. I have really and truly went to my journal and been like, damn, I said I wanted to do that. And yet it's done. You know,
there's power in that. It's power.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, and that's how I really and truly live my life. There's no lie. If I say I'm going to do it, is done. Like if I say I'm gonna do it, now I can't be nobody else telling me to do it. It's just gonna have to be me. So with that being said, you all, thank you for listening for Put Your Phone Down podcast. If this has inspired you in any way, like I said, don't y'all be stingy with this share button. You share this episode and pass it along. Until the next time, I got an episode coming up Friday. But until then, be good to yourselves and pass the message on of not giving up. All right, y'all. Be easy.